Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can support us at all on our social media. And if you give us a 5-star review, we will go ahead and read it out on the air for you. And if you can, please go ahead and support us any way you can. It is greatly appreciated. Just also want to give a big shout out to everyone at Lakerholics.com and, of course, our friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network as well. Well, 1 year ago today, we were basking in the glory and the afterglow of the previous day's championship that the Lakers had won, their 18th. It was great in the bubble. Hey, they came out on top, and 1 year later, we are experiencing a different kind of jubilation as the big three finally got together at the same time, at the same place, on the same court as the Lakers teamed up Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook for a period of time today. Limited, of course, it is preseason. Against the Golden State Warriors, first quarter, they did look pretty good. At least LeBron and AD did. And, well, from there, it went okay. Even matchup between what was there between the Golden State Warriors and, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers. Golden State Warriors did not have several of its players, including Steph Curry, not in the lineup. The Lakers had limited minutes from LeBron, AD, and Russ. Russ still struggling, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, but still 5 turnovers. Poor shooting from him as well still. Anthony Davis, though, 7-12 for 20 points. Looked good again. Hopefully that can be a precursor for what he can do in the regular season. 2 block shots. They actually looked good on the defensive side of things in the first quarter against Golden State. But in the second half, it wasn't to be. And in the fourth quarter, they put out the young kids that are out there, some rookies, some people trying to make the team. Guys are just looking like they're going to go ahead and showcase themselves for the G League or maybe some other teams. And unfortunately, the fourth quarter was another collapse for the Lakers, and the Lakers end up losing 111-99. But again, the focus is on the front side of the game and the big three and how they performed. And to Laker Tom's delight, and also injuries involved as well, they started Anthony Davis at the center position. Carmelo Anthony played on the wing along with LeBron James, Kent Bazemore, and Russell Westbrook. But I also want to go ahead and mention we're going to be talking about the injury bug struck again and also a new addition to the team on a 2-way contract. So we'll talk about that here in a sec. But he is the man indeed from Lakerholics.com. You got to go ahead and be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. Magic Man Sean Grice, also Jamie Sweet. Their stuff is out there and great as part of the site. But this man has some detailed articles that you got to check out. It is Laker Tom at Laker Tom. That first quarter looked very impressive and showcased what the Lakers can do. Still kind of fuzzy on what Russell Westbrook is doing right now. Still struggling out there. But LeBron and AD and Russ, they made a go of it and looked pretty good overall.
Well, I think it's encouraging. You know, it's just one of those typical games because you can't really look at the entirety of the game as a whole and it doesn't have any meaning because it's, you know, certain parts of it just don't count at all. I will say one thing, though. I was really impressed with Jordan Poole.
That kid, you and I play. Both.
That kid can play. And
that's why he's on all my fantasy basketball teams.
And, you know, and the Warriors are the kind of team that I used to hate to play because you got to pay attention on defense because they're always focusing on backdooring. You know, it's always a step toward the ball and then cut backdoor the minute the guy takes his eye off of you. and the defender, you just can't take your eye off of him. I remember this last year too, you know, and it's kind of funny. It's like you'd think that LeBron was sloppy tonight. I mean, he was just horrible. It's like he had 7 turnovers. And between him and 7 and I think 5 for Russ, I mean, 12 turnovers. It's, you know, it's a wonder that they were in the game. And that's obviously what kept the game to be a close game without Steph being in there. You know, the Warriors, if Klay comes back, the Warriors are going to be something to be reckoned with. They're going to be better than a lot of people think.
But yes, Klay, in regards to him, I mean, you got to give him some time to get back and acclimated to the lineup. Yep. With Jordan Poole, great offensive talent. We don't know what his defensive game is like. I know that's in Golden State. That's what they're concerned about, is on the defensive end with him. There's no question the guy likes to go ahead and shoot it as much as he can. So like that aspect of it. But yes, definitely Golden State has something to look forward to when Klay Thompson gets back. But we'll see how it goes from there. But your thoughts on the starting lineup? Carmelo Anthony did have a little bit of off game, shooting 2 for 7 from 3. Yeah. But still, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Kent Bazemore, also not the greatest game in the world. But, you know, the signs are there. They played a good first quarter together. And to me, that's a sign that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, a couple of thoughts about who's going to play with the big three. You know, this is an option I thought that was brought up, which makes some sense in that Melo is the one guy that, as a proven veteran, you expect to be able to hit a 40% like he did last year. You know, other guys, you can imagine that, you know, they're playing in the bright lights of LA next to LeBron and AD and Russ. And if they get a shot at a three, you better be clutch and make that three. You know, I think the only thing that really troubles me is that all of our elite shooters aren't our better defenders, and all of our volume shooters aren't our better defenders. And Frank Vogel basically doesn't like to have a guy on the floor who's not a good defender, which means that Bazemore is the most likely guy to, with Ariza out, to play the three or the two, and depending on, you know, what the starting lineup is. And the problem is that can Bazemore be better than, let's say, KCP was last year? That's what we really need. That's what we were really counting on when we signed all of these veterans, most of whom averaged double digits last year, that we were getting an upgrade, you know, and at those two spots, the two and the three, versus the guards that we had in the past. You know, they went for guys who could score more, almost lots of guys who were making 15 points per game. Now they're not going to get the shots and the minutes that they got in their previous year playing on the Lakers, or unless they can really perform. Ellington, I think Ellington would have started, at least that's what I gathered from Vogel's comments, had he not had, you know, a slight hamstring problem. And I think there's a good chance that Ellington will start on, you know, next Tuesday when we open against Golden State again. I think it'll be Bazemore and Ellington will be the guards, because we need some more firepower than we're going to get. And also, too, you know, Melo gives us size, but I can't count the number of times tonight that guys went around him for layups. He's not a great defender, and sometimes, you know, I mean, you just have to compare, you know, I mean, this is preseason. LeBron is not going to be killing himself on defense, as we saw numerous times, leaving a guy completely wide open in the corners a couple of times. And AD, same thing with all of the proven veterans, you know. They'll put their minutes in, get their stroke going, you know, hope and play not to get injured, you know, and otherwise let's just get rid of, you know, preseason and start the regular season. Until then, these games don't count. It's just like you get to wash the board clear. It's like Russ said, after people were criticizing him for 15 turnovers in the first two games, he says, hey, they don't even keep records of preseason. They're actually, the truth is,
they kind of actually do.
ESPN does.
Yeah, they kind of actually do. So you better tell them they kind of actually do. But I will say that there's an injury report, so I wanted to go ahead and update. Kendrick Nunn has an ankle injury. It's supposed to not be serious, although we said that with THT. And next day, he's going in for surgery, so we'll see what happens there. Like you said, Ellington was out of the lineup as well. all those individual players that we said needed to go ahead and be in that competition for that number two spot alongside Russell Westbrook, all are injured right now. So your thoughts on this? You really like Ellington. I really don't like Ellington.
Well,
I really
think, I haven't really seen Wayne play a lot. What determines who plays a lot on this team is Frank Vogel and his little subcommittee of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. For example, I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot more Rondo this year than people were thinking at the beginning, because I don't think none can really handle the playmaking, second playmaker. When Russ sits, somebody's got to take over. Right now, it's LeBron, obviously, because, you know, that's LeBron, and he's still going to get his, you know, no matter where he plays, he's still going to get his, you want him to get his opportunities with the ball in his hands, but you just want to reduce it so that it's not a full-time job for him. And then it's good because it diversifies the offense and gives you different looks. You can have Russ taking the ball or LeBron taking it or Rondo. So I think Rondo, you know, Rondo, it's amazing how he's converted himself. He's shooting the three again very well on the Lakers. Last game, it was horrible. It was regular season Rondo last game. This game, I thought it was, you know, just not playoff Rondo, but getting dang close to it.
Well, we're going to have to play. Lobs. I think we're going to have to play Rondo a lot more than what we thought we were going to have to play him.
Yeah, we are. And he's going to be a valuable part of it, and that's important. And the guy who has the worst plus minus for the night was Howard. Dwight just, you know, seemed to be a little
off
bit
today.
Out of sorts.
This was an off hour day, right. Indeed. But I did want to make sure and let you know that Bree Marco and Felix are back here in the chat room. And great to have you both here. Thank you so much for the love.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. Bree loves your hat, by the way. Just want to make sure and let you know. You got the rockin' the Lakers hat, the dark look. I actually kind of like it myself, although I want the duck bill. Duck bills are my way to go. But Felix.
Yeah, that's my favorite hat.
Even though Tom doesn't agree with you, Felix, Felix says go Dodgers. He's obviously a 2-2 there after today's victory.
I grew up listening to Vin call games, man.
Yeah, I do miss
but
Vin.
I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah, Vin's one of the best. Vin, Chick Hearn. We were actually
Vin
blessed
in
the Los Angeles area.
Vin and Chick and Dick Enberg calling the UCLA Bruins games.
Well, okay. He also called Angels games, but we won't go there. But,
well,
you know, I will say this, that he was a great voice for NBC Sports.
The winning team and the announcer together.
Okay, well, he was a great voice for NBC Sports. I'll give you Dick Enberg on that.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of Bioware on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. It is the Lakers Fast Break. It's Gerald coming right back at you here with Laker Tom. I do want to go ahead and focus again on the injuries. I mean, at some point, this has got to be cleared up before the start of the season, that there has to be a definitive starting lineup. There is only one exhibition game left. And if you're Frank Vogel, do you go the route that I'm going to set up my lineup now for this next game? Or do
That's
you give everybody
he
the game
said
off?
He was going to do that for the season.
So
said who starts next week is going to.
So who starts on Thursday is going to be the starting lineup that's in there. So I want to make sure, because sometimes people have the mentality, these coaches have the mentality, sit them down for that.
You know, he'll switch in the playoffs, obviously, but for single games and so forth, you know, he won't switch. He may switch minutes on people, but he's going to leave the role the same. He did that last year. I mean, I'm screaming all year long for him to bench JaVale, as JaVale's stats from the first quarter of the season were great. And every quarter of the season, they went down after that. But Frank, you know, Frank stayed him in, left him in there all the way through, no matter what. Even after four or five bad games in a row, and we were behind by 10, four or five games in a row because of poor play and lack of spacing. I think nobody's going to take Bazemore out of the lineup because he can hit the corner three. you know, and hopefully he'll hit enough of them so that he'll be better than KCP. And he can play D. He's got long arms and he hustles. I think
the
he's
problem
in
is
there.
Though when he gets the ball and he drives, it's an adventure that I'm not sure we like taking.
Well, he's better as a catch. I'd park him in the corner as much as I could.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've liked. We saw a little bit of that.
But hey, that's a valuable role because you occupy somebody and you spread the court when you're in the weak corner, you know. And I think the other player is going to be Ellington simply because he is in the videos that I've seen of him, he is the closest thing that the Lakers have on this team to a player who can relocate the way that Steph does, you know, who can be a threat simply because he's always moving and he'll take a shot very quickly. He'll pass the ball. He'll do a dribble handoff and he'll just make a move that to get himself open. That is almost like a step back move to get himself open versus taking a step back shot. And so he's the guy I think that they believe has the most offensive potential. And they're going to hide one guy. That's probably who they're going to hide now. Monk potentially could have competed for that spot, but he's more of like an exploder off the bench, you know, since he's only started one game in his entire 3-year career. And so I think Ellington is the logical choice. I mean, the other option probably, I guess, is Melo, but I don't think they want to go through a season with Melo's defense in the starting lineup.
I agree with you on that.
Because how do you play Ellington and Melo together? You got two bad defenders on there.
You can play them, but then if you want to give up a lot of points,
yeah,
that's
but you can't.
What you're
do. Frank's not going to do that.
No, so I would not play them together.
So if he takes Melo and puts him in there, then he's got to stick Bazemore in then as the guard, and that's what we saw play tonight. And I think we can protect Ellington better than we can protect Melo, because when Melo screws up, the guy's right at the basket. You know, he's not a perimeter defender.
He's not a defender.
Our shot blockers have a chance to save the mistake the perimeter defender made.
Just like you said, in regards to Kent Bazemore, he needs to be that spot up shooter. Give him those post ups every once in a while if you got a big enough lead. But, you know, obviously because he could still do it on most occasions, but give him that spot up.
He's by far the best defender of all of these guys we signed.
I think
haven't seen Ariza. We haven't seen what Trevor can do, you know. And Trevor does have size. It's 6'8", you know, that helps.
I'm still thinking Kendrick Nunn could be a key. I know Felix is out there saying Rondo's a key. Rondo, to me, I'm hoping that – well,
Felix
actually, here's
is right.
the scenario. I was hoping
You're
Rondo
right, Felix.
I was hoping Rondo would not be individual that we would lean on much during the regular season and then just gear him up for playoff Rondo, because as you and I – through almost the entire lifetime of the show have talked about playoff Rondo and regular season Rondo being two different things.
Well, it's at the defensive end that you really, that's one of the big differences. Playoff Rondo's offense obviously is better and his playmaking is better and everything's, you know, and regular season Rondo's real vulnerability is his defense is horrible at times, you know. he'll come down on a 2-and-1 fast break, and rather than staying in the middle and, you know, he'll commit to one guy on the side and allow an easy layup, you know. Hey, he wants to be a coach, and maybe he's going to be playing more consistently. And hopefully the team still has accountability that, you know, when you screw up defensively, you're going to hear about it from the coaching staff in the film session the next day, and your teammates are, you know, you want to win. And everybody, there's a peer pressure not to. There's a peer pressure on this team that started with Anthony Davis challenging LeBron to play defense. And Frank Vogel was brought in, a coach who has the same attitude. And so I think that bodes well. But that's so what I think our starting lineup will be. Our closing lineup, I think that will be the big three plus, you know, depends on how Ellington shot. If Ellington shot well, he will be in the lineup. If he didn't shoot well, then there'll be an open spot for the hot shooter of the night.
That's correct, and that's what's probably going to be.
And that's fine. I think that's fine, you know. And hey, it could be you could easily stick Melo in there at the end of a game, just depending on who the other team was and who they had to guard Melo. You know, it would be a matchup situation where you just look for who's the weak link on the other defense and who do you have offensively that you can put out on the floor to match up, force that person to be matched up against them, and see what you can produce out of it.
With Felix, though, Felix is shouting out that you're just hitting it right on the head there, Laker Tom. In fact, he's actually already got you hooked up on ESPN. Tell him like it is. He said some of the ESPN dudes doesn't make him feel good at all, but he likes the fellas like us at Lakers Fast Break. So we truly appreciate the kind words, Felix. Once again, the Lakers did unfortunately fall in the fourth quarter because they brought the young kids out there. 111-99, they lose to the Golden State Warriors in the fifth game of the six-game set of exhibition games. And just as a heads up, the Lakers did sign on a two-way contract today Sekou Doumbouya, who played the past couple seasons with Detroit. His rights got sent over to Brooklyn, then got sent over to Houston, then he was waived in Houston. Hopefully he can develop a three-point shot because it's still under 30%. If that's the case, he could be somebody that down the road could be a possible wing defender that we could sorely need on the team. So we're looking forward to seeing what Sekou Doumbouya may be doing in the future for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to ask you this. When in regards to that last half and some of the young kids that are out there, I do want to make mention that I do think there is a future in the league for Sean D. Brown. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be with the team because I know he's still not on a contract as of yet with the team. But I'd like to see a future for him somewhere. I think he's going to make it in the league at some point in time. You seem to really like Austin Reeves. You made a comment before we went on the air that I think.
Sure, I'll say this. This is the comment that Gerald was, I guess,
very dangerous.
Flabbergasted at.
Twitter will be flabbergasted at.
I think there's a good possibility that Austin Reeves could become a better NBA player than Alex Caruso.
Okay. Well, there you go. Then that means he's got a $90 million contract in his future. So there you go. Hopefully he'll get you a cut.
Why would the Lakers take a two-way contract player who we didn't see really tear up the court in the games when we saw him play in Summer League. And yet they moved him up to a full contract. And they're giving him minutes.
And they're putting him against Chris Paul. They're sending him out there to learn the hard way.
He's freshman meat, obviously, for everybody in the league.
Chris Paul just toyed. You got to admit, Chris Paul just toyed with him.
Yeah, but I've seen Chris Paul do that to elite defenders.
And a lot of people, yes.
It's no embarrassment. The thing about Reeves, I said this earlier, there was an excellent discussion where Reeves basically, I guess, is a guy that was pestering. He sits next to Rondo all the time, and he was pestering Rondo by asking him hundreds of questions. And somebody asked Reeves, he says, well, how's your relationship with Rondo? And Reeves said, well, I think he probably thinks I'm a real pest. And then there was another interview, though, where Rondo said, yeah, Reeves, he's really a smart kid. He really knows basketball because he was asking questions about certain things. And I had to tell him, no, we don't do that here. They do that. They do that in Boston. Or they do that in Chicago. But Reeves is like a coach's son that he's a student of the game. And Rondo was really, saying that he was impressed not only with his play, but also with his mental understanding of the game. And he has sort of that point guard mentality. I don't think he necessarily has point guard skills. I think that he does seem to have good instincts on defense. I like how he fights around screens. I like how he anticipates and forces the player back, doesn't let him use the screen. He's still too slight to be a great defender, doesn't have the athleticism that Alex Caruso has, but is a much better shooter than Caruso is, and will probably be a much better three-point shooter and a much higher volume three-point shooter than Caruso.
Well, higher volume I'll give you, but right now he's brought himself up to the point where he's shooting. Remember, he shot 40%.
He's shooting 40% from three before this game.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as Caruso shot 40% from the three. Now, mind you, on a very low number, and I will give you that, low volume shooter as far as it's concerned. But
the difference is that Reeves is a guy who looks for a shot. I think that's the whole difference in
maybe why, it was also,
why
maybe
I think
it was
there's
also
a potential for him to be a better player than Alex.
But you also got to remember, Alex was also looking for a contract. So he had to be careful what his numbers looked like. And, you know, I mean, he may have been, that may have come into the phrase.
I don't think that affected Alex. I think Alex played for the team. And
how many million dollars did he get? How many? Don't ever say that.
I don't think Alex.
Why is Ben Simmons back in Philadelphia?
No, Alex Caruso did not. I think that's an insult to Alex Caruso to say that his game ever was compromised in order to try to improve his stats in order to get a bigger contract.
I'm just throwing it out.
He did not play. He is not one of those guys. He is not one of those guys who played great in his contract year only.
No, but as far as the shooting, sometimes the shooting, guys, they're careful about how many shots they take because they want to get
the percentage. Some guys are shooting. Look, everybody who plays basketball knows there's some guys like to shoot and some guys don't. Okay. Alex was not one of those guys who likes to shoot.
Well, let's see him in Chicago. Let's see his numbers in Chicago and the number of attempts. If the number of attempts grow a lot higher.
Well, you can ask me this question in 5 years.
I'll ask you in five weeks.
You know, and listen, this is this is not an insult on Alex. You know,
he was a tremendous part of the team. And
Alex was a championship player. And he's, unfortunately, in this league, you don't get paid for how important you are defensively. You're the guy who is always in the right place, in the right rotation, that nobody has to worry about, that nobody ever has to talk about. And therefore, you never get any credit nor any money, you know, in your contract year. But Alex, again, was not in. This is a league where you get paid because of your offense.
So let me ask you
and
this.
Reeves is a guy who wants to shoot.
Let me ask you this. Jamie Sweet has been very adamant about this whole preseason about how he would have much preferred keeping Caruso over THT. So now that we don't have Jamie right here right now talking about it, your thoughts, would you have rather kept Caruso or are glad that you've kept THT?
I have a couple of thoughts about that situation, you know, and I don't think it's as dumb a question to ask, you know.
I don't think it's a dumb question at all because you can see the perimeter defenses might be an issue.
Yeah, but there's a couple of factors in here that affect it. Number one is the luxury tax. Say what you say about the Lakers having the biggest revenue next to the Knicks and the second biggest value, market value next to the Knicks, but they have never been a team that paid much luxury tax. And they basically aren't going to waste their money. You know, that's part of the attitude that they think that they can win with it. It's not like, it's unlike the Los Angeles Dodgers, for example, who think that paying twice the salary that any other team plays is the way that you build a better team to win.
But then I don't know who won the championship last
year. But then the Giants come along, you know, and well, at
any
rate.
2-2 right now. We'll see how that works out.
God, I forgot our subject. What were we talking about?
No, we're talking about THT for
Christmas. Oh, right. Okay. So
let's say
the second factor is clutch.
I'm not worried about clutch. I understand that's part to keep LeBron happy and all that, but Caruso that played well with LeBron, and LeBron enjoyed having Caruso there.
Well, LeBron, but you'll notice that while the Lakers asked LeBron and AD about major personnel decisions, you'll notice that we did not bring back Caruso. We did not bring back the best 15th man in the league. We didn't, you know, and so, and these are players, these are both situations where, where LeBron James basically came out and said, what we lobbied to, you know, we lobbied to keep Caruso. We lobbied, you know, the decisions, this team is being run by Rob Pelinka. You know?
Well, I can tell you on your 15th man thing, it was better. He even knew his career was over, and he's doing what he needed to be done 2 years ago
and
becoming a coach.
Is the Chick Hearn job.
Well, no, he's an assistant coach now on an NBA team, which is something
he
should have been
2 years ago. He chose to be a lead assistant versus a radio announcer. They gave him the reverse Pat Riley opportunity.
Okay. Well, again, I think he has a future as an assistant coach, maybe even a coach. We'll see. But Jared Dudley, that he should have been that 2 years ago. But again, that's a another issue again that we'll probably revisit, unfortunately, at some other point in time. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. And before we head on out, I just wanted to go ahead and mention again, you need to follow Lakerholics.com or Lakerholics on Facebook. Go ahead, check this out there. Also, as well, you can check us out, Lakers Fast Break, on Facebook and YouTube. Hopefully, you get a chance to go ahead and follow us and subscribe if you can, please. That is greatly appreciated. We're trying to bring you more content, including more looks at NBA teams. If we don't get all the guests that I've tried to invite over that are kind of, you know, scheduling issues and things aside, we will go ahead and have a massive rest of the NBA team look coming up this weekend. I've already asked Sean Grice, so he's going to come and fill in whoever I can't get to come in to go ahead and talk about their NBA teams. But before we head on out, Lakerholics.com, that's the place to be. That's the place to go for all your Lakers conversations with the season just around the corner. As Felix says, go Lakers. But Laker Tom is here, and I know you've got a lot of great things that you're working on before the season starts. Please let us know what you're working on at Lakerholics.com.
Well, I just did an article in Lakerholics.com. Time for the Lakers to allow Russell Westbrook to be Russell Westbrook.
Does that mean 20 more turnovers in three games?
No, I don't think it's the turnovers, but you can't – listen, it's like shooting. You can't – if you don't shoot, you can't make a basket, you know? If you don't play Russell Westbrook, what are you going to do? Why did you bring Russell Westbrook in? Now, I think that one of the things that was discussed when you talk about how to blend Russell Westbrook with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James, obviously the positional change and moving, sliding LeBron and AD to the 4 and 5 and going small ball was essential, because that's the only way you get two shooters in a lineup, okay? Because if you play a low post center along with those three, then you really got only one shooter, because we don't have a stretch five to play that five position. So at any rate, that was the first thing that changed, was a result of how to make them play together. But then there's the thing of then, okay, so there's moving LeBron – LeBron and AD, who's going to have to make adjustments? Probably not AD, simply because he's playing a five, which is where he played in the championship series anyway. So all we're doing now is following through and saying, well, why don't we just play our best team out there and play the best style of basketball that we play best for 48 minutes of the game, or for 36 minutes of the game, or whatever, during the regular season, and practice and hone and figure out what works against every single team in the league, so we go into the playoffs as a much stronger team. Russell Westbrook, do you change how he plays, really? I don't think so. What we're talking about is that we took the ball from LeBron James, who was playing point guard, and we move him to the four. And the reason we do that is because that was what he played when we won a championship. And the best 4-5 combination we had was AD protecting the rim, and LeBron James playing middle linebacker, you know, in the middle of the key, picking up whoever was coming through. And that's the defense that dominated other teams. So what it comes down to is LeBron is the one that's making the big positional changes. What we saw today, though, is because we were a little bit shorthanded, we saw a lot of LeBron bringing the ball up and LeBron, you know, running the offense rather than Russ. And Russ, I thought, made some excellent passes. He's very good in the fast break, his pass aheads, and so forth. And the combination of playmaking of him and Rondo and LeBron, you know, it makes for an exciting team. But I think the thing is that you don't make Russ change, because if you try to change a guy in his 18th year, 17th year, whatever year it is, 13th year, 15th year, something like that, when you try to change somebody like that, it doesn't make sense. I think you can tone him down a little bit, And I think they've asked him to become a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter rather off the bounce rather than shooting off the dribble, because he's a 35.6% three-point shooter when he does a catch-and-shoot three. So if he's got to cut it down on the turnovers, obviously, and he's got to focus on taking the right kind of three-point shots and better shot selection. If he does those things, then other than that, I think you want him to play like he normally played, a relentless killer that's just going for the dunk and going to drive into the basket and creating chaos over the whole court and speeding everything up into a hectic style of play. I think that is something that is a huge benefit for a team with the athleticism and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the players we have. We may live and die on our three-point shot, but, you know, almost every team in the league lives and dies on their three-point shooting, you know. So we have to have some three-point shooting, and now how well they do is going to count. But a lot of it, I think, is going to be the adjustment. And if I'm a trusting, and why I'm very optimistic, is I don't have to count on AD adjusting his game. I don't have to count on Russ adjusting his game. So who do I have to count on? LeBron James, man, the maestro of being able to do whatever a team needs in order for him to win. That's why I'm not really worried about the three of them learning how to play together. It may take more time than I like, because obviously I think we should go out and win every single game. But I think after a month or so that we're going to maybe the first road trip where we can go out there and the team can bond and be away from all of the distractions you have at home. Maybe that road trip will be the road trip where they finally pull it together and start to play. But with LeBron James being the key to this whole thing working, and if there's anybody who you trust in the lab to figure out exactly, okay, well, this is what I have to do in order for this to gel, it's LeBron James.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out on Thursday if they do trot out the starting lineup that we will be seeing at the beginning of the regular season. Hoping that's the case so we can get a better idea what to expect. But we'll see what happens, because the injury bug is still there, still biting the Lakers.
It's amazing, isn't it? And the young guys, all the young guys.
Yep, young and old alike. So thank goodness we don't have the injury bug, you know, knock on wood there. You know, just to go ahead and make sure we do that. But again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. You got any questions for us? At Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. You can always find Laker Tom tweeting out there his love for his new hillbilly Kobe, Austin Reeves.
I hate that name, though. That name doesn't work for me.
That's what he calls himself. So I guess he got that pick. Did he get that in college, I think, at Oklahoma? I think, or you know, he got that along the way. So,
well, who does he remind you of any Laker? Is there a Laker that Kobe he reminds Carl. You of?
Kobe Carl. Kobe Carl. Just, you said what he looked like, what he yeah. played like, what he just, his whole body type. He just reminds me of Kobe Carl. Maybe a little bit stronger. I don't know. Just, we'll have to wait and see. Again,
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to see how he plays.
I don't have anybody that jumps out, but there's something about him that I like. Okay. It'd be interesting to see how good of a player he becomes.
He is heady at times. I do see him making good plays off the ball, but so we'll see what happens. And he can hit the three from what I'm seeing so far. Yeah. And he better be doing that consistently. Not quite Svi Mihailik. I don't think Svi was a little bit different. Now I wish him the best of luck in Toronto. Always like Svi. So we'll see what happens with Austin Reeves. I'm wishing him the luck. He's got the
Reeves. I looked at Reeves' college stats when we signed him to the two-way deal, and he wasn't a great three-point shooter. It's 33%, something like that. But couple of plays that he's made in the last two games where he grabbed the rebound, dribbled out to the three-point line, and fired away. I really love that.
I know you do. They're just another version. He reminds me of a Laker Tom out there on the court.
I like a guy who shoots threes, man. I like a guy who shoots threes and wants to shoot.
Wasn't your nickname back in the day No Conscience?
No.
So we always say we had no conscience.
No, I did have a conscience.
If you got the ball, you shot the ball. That's what you told me.
No, not necessarily.
You passed?
I shot more than I passed, I'll tell you that.
Okay, there you go.
I played point guard, so I passed the ball too.
I'm open.
And, frankly, if I look back on my amateur career, my unillustrious amateur career, the best plays that I remember really are passes rather than shots.
Wow. Yes. There you go. All right. So look out for Tom Gunner. How about Gunner? Can I call you Gunner?
I was a gunner. I'm a gunner and a hacker.
There you go.
What can I say?
There's another foul. There you go for Gunner Laker Tom.
This is street ball, man. No harm, no foul.
I know that all too well. But I'll tell you what, if you want to go ahead and give us a shout out again, at
you
going to
call a foul on that? Come on.
Exactly. The guy's arm is red, pulsating red with a handprint on it. What foul? At Laker Tom
all
on
ball,
Twitter.
All ball.
There you go. It was all ball.
I'm going to start a podcast. That's a good name for a podcast, don't you think?
It was all ball. It was all ball. I swear. It was all ball. At Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, at Laker Tom on Twitter. If you know a Lakers fan out there, please go ahead and tell them about our show. We need all the help we can get. We've got some great download numbers already, but we need even more. We want to be one of the big fish out there in the sea. So if you can help us any way you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is sincerely appreciated. But once again, the score, 111-99. The Golden State Warriors did defeat the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 5 of an exhibition season that, for me,
set up the revenge opening season game.
Well, it's an exhibition season that cannot end soon enough for me, but there is one more game on the slate, and that is Thursday. And for sure, we will be back then for the post game, so check us out there, and we'll have that dropping on Friday as audio right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.